This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Adam Ritz here with you on my favorite public affairs show. It's called The Adam Ritz Show. I know I'm biased, but I think it's Jay Baker's favorite public affairs show, too. Hey, Jay, how are you?
I'm doing great, and it's funny you brought that up. The other day, someone was asking me to name my top 25, shows, and I quite frankly put The Adam Ritz Show on top, number one.
Right behind Friends and Seinfeld.
Friends and Seinfeld in syndication. This is public affairs. You and I know. We have both read the book, For the Greater Good. And that's why we're here, to serve the public.
Well, you know who is serving the public in the greater good is a gentleman named Flavor Flav. I've already screwed up his name. It's Flavor Flav. You know Flavor Flav?
I saw that the other day. Yes, he was typical. People don't realize this. He was the hype man for a very popular rap group called Public Enemy.
That's right.
And Flavor Flav, he's always visible because he has the giant clock around his neck. His favorite phrase is, "What time is it?" And I've always said, you know, on social media, because I love to be a punster, I always say that Flavor Flav is the unofficial spokesperson for daylight savings time.
Because of the
due
clock.
Due to the clock. Yeah, heck yeah.
That, you know, I had no idea that you would have so much knowledge about Flavor Flav. With your 30-plus years of classic rock radio in your back pocket, you are such a fan of a Hall of Fame rapper, iconic member of Public Enemy, Flavor Flav. He is in the news recently because, and I just think this is fantastic, he has taken it upon himself to really help out financially the United States Olympic water polo teams, the men and women's teams, because he had heard the members, the athletes of the teams, they all have jobs. They can't actually do the water polo full time because it's not what they call a money sport. So they all have to have full time jobs and careers to pay for what is basically a hobby, which is an Olympic sport. So to get to the Olympics, Summer Olympics every 4 years, and be able to compete at a high level, most of your gold medal winners are doing it full time. And Flavor Flav has just signed a 5-year deal to work with and become now the official hype man for the USA water polo women's and men's national teams.
I don't want to interrupt any of this story because I am spellbound, but has he created a waterproof and or floating clock?
It's amazing that the the one-piece swimsuits that the women's team wear, that they don't have a silkscreen clock on the front of the swimsuit. It is amazing.
The clock is everything, yeah.
But, when I think of Flavor Flav, I think of his reality TV show in the 2010s called Flavor of Love. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I remember that. One of the MTV stalwart shows. You and I have laughed many a time on this show, recalling all the great programming that has been on MTV.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, and my goodness. And so both good and bad.
If you're scrolling through reruns of Flavor of Flav, just know this incredibly visual mess of a man, if that's what you think when you look at a guy with a clock hanging around his neck, he's actually doing great work supporting the United States water polo team.
No, he's been very sincere. And in fact, we get a daily newsletter about things that are happening on the Olympic front. And Flavor Flav has been mentioned more than once. Though I do have to recall, and this is not hopefully perceived as a negative, At one point, wasn't he wearing the Viking helmet with the two horns that came out the side with the fur?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And of course.
And I ask you, why wouldn't he?
Well, of course.
Why wouldn't he?
I mean,
of course.
If you're Flavor Flav, you've got to go with the Viking helmet. We've always said that.
Now, Jay, recently I was having dinner, and the Olympics were on in the restaurant on the flat panels, but the audio was not. And I had heard about this Flavor Flav story, so I knew why they were showing him during the Olympics. But, you know, even outside of water polo, they'll show footage of Flavor Flav, when they're doing a news package and talking about celebrity connections to the Olympics. He's been brought up quite a bit. And if you don't have the audio on, you are probably very confused. If you're seeing Flavor Flav in the Olympics, why do they keep showing him? Now you know the rest of the story, since he's such a huge financial contributor to the water polo teams of the United States, men and women's teams.
Well, and you and I know that any support of Olympic teams is so niche-oriented. I mean, you know, we tend to forget about many of these sports until we see them in the Olympics. And your point is well taken. The other day I was watching a couple of sports on the Olympics and I was going, I'd completely forgotten that we compete in those sports, you know, things like men's field hockey and archery and then you see people pistol shooting, which part of you thinks maybe that's not politically correct. Maybe we need to review some of the sports that are in the Olympics, you know?
Yeah, there's really some sports on there that you'd see on the Ocho.
Yes.
You bring up shooting. Did you see the gentleman from, I think it was Turkey, that won the silver medal for shooting?
People went crazy on social media because so many athletes have all this gear on and encumbrance and everything. This guy walked in, they said he was like a soprano hitman, walks up to the table, picks up the pistol, and ends up winning a gold medal, right?
He won the silver.
Oh, silver, okay.
Which is amazing because, to your point, he has zero equipment. And
right.
A lot of the people that are doing shooting, they have these, you know, arm guards on that hold the gun steady. They have
right.
these scope headsets on and earplugs in and all, you know, back braces on to keep their back steady or to keep their foundation, like their stance, feet, special shoes and boots for their stance. And he walked up there with like a t-shirt on and a pair of Skechers and a pair of jeans, no earplugs, no eyewear, nothing on his wrists or hands.
Right.
And he was holding the gun the way you and I would hold the water pistol at the carnival to blow up the clown's mouth with the balloon to win
yes.
a stuffed animal. And he just kind of closed one eye and shot the target and won the silver medal. I think the other part of the story is he just started doing this like a year and a half ago. Like he had never shot a gun before.
Oh, I know.
And
well,
like he was going through a divorce or something and just wanted to blow off some steam. So he went to his local gun club and started shooting at targets and found out he was pretty good at it.
Yeah, he was just good at it. Yeah, and you and I don't want to glorify violence, but when you think of popular culture and when someone said it looked like a Soprano family hitman, I was on the floor.
Oh,
I'm
me too.
Sorry. That made me laugh.
Yeah, all through social media, people were saying, I think I know what a hitman looks like if I've ever seen one.
But, yeah, I've got Netflix. I know what a hitman looks like. Yeah, it was so funny.
So there's your Olympic update from the Adam Rich Show.
Well, we are going to start off with something that will promote good sleep. Now, you and I know that most any health ritual, any health tip we give you, we always say use in moderation. But this is an interesting gentleman. He is a board certified surgeon in the New Orleans area. And he has said, I take sleep very seriously. So if you want the 5-star sleep approach to fall asleep and get a great night's sleep throughout the night, he is offering 4 sort of areas, if you will, that will change how you sleep.
Okay. I can't wait to hear these.
Now, the number one tip, and I thought this was great, is to put up blackout curtains. Now, blackout curtains, of course, became famous during World War II because, you know, London was getting bombed on a nightly basis from their adversary. So they developed a curtain where no light come out. And believe it or not, you can get blackout curtains for your home that allow you to sleep in complete and total darkness.
Yeah, and you got to be careful because you can sleep through the entire day.
Yes.
This happened to me. You may wake up and think, oh, it must be 4 o'clock in the morning. It's so dark in here. And you get up and you realize it's 2 in the afternoon and you just slept through the whole day.
Yeah, no, that's a point well taken. So yes, if you go total darkness, you got to be a little bit careful. Not the least of which, if at night you arise to perhaps let your pet out or go to the bathroom in total darkness, you've got to be a little extra careful. Mm-hmm. This doctor also says that you should stop any type of screen time, whether it's your personal device or a television, at least 30 minutes before bedtime.
That's a tough one.
Yes.
That is a tough one. I mean, dating back to, you know, the old days when everybody used to watch Johnny Carson before they went to bed. You watch your local news at 11, you watch Johnny Carson at 11:30, you go to bed at midnight. So that seems pretty normal, the screen time right before bed. And now you throw in these newfangled smartphones that are so portable and easy to look at while you're lying in bed. I mean, how are you, Jay, actually going to expect me not to do one last check of my email and X before I go to bed on my phone?
Or as I've said repeatedly on this show, get agitated beyond the ability to sleep by looking at the postings on X or other popular social media sites.
Does get your heart racing. Maybe it might be hard to go to sleep after you just get into a political argument with a friend of yours on Facebook right before you go to bed.
You get all wound up.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but are they saying the 30 minutes of screen time is detrimental to your sleep because of just the stimulation to the eye, or like we just talked about, maybe it's
a little
stressful for your psyche? What is the reason there?
The reason is the actual blue light that strikes your eyes. So avoid watching television, avoid your phone, and that 30-minute time limit will help you get better sleep.
So what you could do, if you actually just needed something playing in the background, you could listen, you could binge to the Adam Ritz Show on your favorite podcast platform.
You could. Now, here's step number three. And as I told you, this is the 5-star plan. This is going to involve the spending of some of your personal income if you so choose to take this route. This particular doctor recommends using a air purifier in your bedroom space. He uses a particular model, Pro Purifier, but he does credit the device with helping him breathe easier and sleep sounder. Many companies will have a pretty comprehensive list. As you know, online retailer Amazon always loves to sell you something, but there are a number of top quality air purifiers that this doctor says are the way to go to get a great night's sleep.
That makes complete sense. Breathe easier and sleep sounder.
Now, I will say this, the final of the 4 items is this particular doctor is pretty keen on taking a little bit of magnesium before you go to bed. And when they say a little bit, you want to take the recommended amount, about 350 milligrams. Don't get some pill that they give to the giraffe at the zoo.
No.
You use a sensible amount. But this is funny. I will concur on this particular point. I was recommended by a doctor. I was dealing with some leg cramp issues. And he said, you know, magnesium, surprisingly, because we always hear potassium for leg cramps. He goes, if you have a little magnesium, you'll be surprised at how well that helps you with leg cramps. And it ended up really helping my sleep. So that's step number four if you want to get the five-star sleep treatment.
Well, I do one of those, and I sleep completely soundly. I have the blackout curtains, and I can imagine if I would, if I could commit to the 30 minutes of screen time, I know that would help. But I got to tell you, Jay, as soon as I turn the phone off and roll over, I am out.
Well, absolutely. And you're not unlike many Americans who end up using sort of the television as a way to sort of lull you to sleep. I remember kind of a big thing for me from working morning radio for a number of years was to watch certain shows that you knew you were just kind of fall asleep as you watched the show. It was almost like the lullaby, if you will, the adult lullaby. You'd fall asleep and you'd go, oh, it feels so good. But now we're finding the screens are sort of keeping us agitated.
You know, I fall asleep every night with Forensic Files on, you know, I put the timer on the TV for an hour.
Right.
And Melissa and I fall asleep to the sound of Forensic Files. It's just a great, the guy has a great voice
oh,
and it's
yeah.
just a slow read. And but here's the deal. Both of us know that each of that the other person knows how to get rid of them and dispose of the body.
Oh, yeah.
Because we listen to it every night. We're getting tips on how to not get caught, I think, is what's happening. So beware, if you do watch Forensic Files in bed with your spouse, you possibly could be giving them some ideas.
It's funny you said that because the other day I was thinking of how do I increase my physical activity? And I thought to myself, need to spend a little more time at the YMCA. I also work out at another gym. So I'm thankfully, I have a couple of different ways I can increase my physical activity. But then I thought to myself from watching a couple of movies on Netflix, apparently disposing of a body is that there's a lot of work and it increases your cardio as well as your body strength.
Okay, this is now the worst public affairs show.
This has become...
Just 17 minutes ago, we started off as one of the best public affairs show. Now we are the worst public affairs
show. We're the worst.
That's the worst advice I've ever heard.
And many people don't realize that I make a pledge to Adam each week. Oh, no, I'm not going to bring up anything that'll upset anyone.
Along the lines, though, Jay, of having the Forensic Files playing while you go to sleep, because it's such a great voiceover with slow pacing and just
right.
there's no loud sounds. There's just a guy talking for 30 minutes. There are, and I haven't listened to any of them, but I know they exist. There are special podcasts for, what's it called when you can't sleep? Is it narcolepsy?
Oh, insomnia.
Insomnia. Narcolepsy.
Yes.
Is, I had it mixed up. Narcolepsy is where you can't stop falling asleep.
Right. You fall asleep spontaneously.
There are podcasts for insomniacs that are just like the most boring voice you've ever heard.
Yes.
Reading a book, the most boring book that's ever been written. And I'm talking like they're 4-hour episodes. Like each podcast is 4 hours long. And it's just a guy reading a book and he's reading it like this. And he's just trying, he's just boring and he's just lulling you to sleep. And there's hardly any way that you could listen to this and not fall asleep. Those podcasts are out there. So if you do
suffer from,
if you have trouble sleeping, simple search for Insomniac Podcast. You'll find some of these. Pop them on between episodes of Forensic Files. You'll be asleep in no time.
Well, that's why I covered our story today. You and I know that a great night's sleep is very important to people's well-being and something that's very elusive. I think we have a lot of distractions, a lot of screens, and, you know, it's easy for us to say, but you and I know that if you have a sleepless night, it's just miserable.
It really does affect your entire day, how you really act and react in the afternoon. Then maybe you sneak in a quick nap. Now the process compounds on top of itself, because now you're not going to go to bed until later because you took a nap, and then you got to get up earlier the next day, and it's just a tough road to hoe when you don't get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's something that's interesting. I had to double check this story when I first came across this story. I thought to myself, you got to be kidding me. We've watched now a couple of weeks plus of Olympic competition. Believe it or not, depending on which country you're from, it could become incredibly lucrative to win a gold medal. I bet you did not know this, Adam, because we always tout the Olympics as the best in nonprofit sports, but there's a lot of profit in the game. I didn't know if you knew that.
So you're saying that depending on what country you're from, if you win a gold medal, you'll make more money depending on what country you're from?
Yeah, USA Today, and that's part of the reason I triple checked this. Not that I doubt USA Today, but I thought, this story just doesn't even sound true. But USA Today reached out to the National Olympic Committees of 40 countries about what they pay for medal payouts, and 25 of those countries responded.
Wow.
Believe it or not, the average of those 25 countries will pay the equivalent of $95,000 for gold medals.
So when Michael Phelps won 10 gold medals, he basically won $1 million.
That I don't know specifically about what America does. So
Okay. This
was a number of countries out there that are, you know, that actually have a bonus system, if you will. The country that pays the most is Serbia. Those that win gold at the Paris Olympics will get $214,000.
Well, that's quite a carrot. Yeah, that does.
Yes, it is.
These amateur athletes are making a lot of money for being amateurs.
Oh, yes. Athletes winning gold from Malaysia and Morocco will receive more than $200,000 from their country's government or National Olympic Committee for winning a medal. At least six other countries have payouts of more than $100,000. Team USA athletes get quite a bit less. So here was the part, Adam.
They get the
holding this off for the best.
They get Netflix for free, right?
They will get a year's worth of Netflix. And they'll also get chocolate included in their medal. It's, remember, you and I always laughed about back when we were kids, there were all these great in the foil chocolate medals.
Yeah.
That's a perfect payout for an Olympic athlete.
They get a chocolate medal, a year's subscription to Netflix, and a year's supply of turtle wax.
Absolutely. Okay. So here's what happens if you're a Team USA athlete. Their payouts, offered through what the United States Olympic Committee calls Operation Gold, you win a gold medal, it's $37,500 for every gold medal at the Paris Games, $22,500 for each silver, and $15,000 for every bronze medal.
You know, that I'll go along with that. I mean, in Serbia, you're talking math and percentages. I mean, the Americans lead most of the medal counts.
Sure.
They're just not as valuable. Because there's so many of them to the Americans. So a medal to a Serbian is few and far between. They should get over $200,000 for a gold medal because it just seems like the Americans win so many darn gold medals. That's only worth $37,500. I'll go along with that.
But that is interesting to me that there is even a payout. I mean, call me naive, but I kind of thought to myself, hey, you're doing part of this to kind of test yourself, if you will, against the greatest athletes of the world. But some of these athletes are doing it because you get compensated fairly well.
Well, I'm with you. I did not know this existed. And I did think that these amateur athletes, And I know they're not amateurs anymore. I mean, they've got the players from the NBA in the basketball category now, and there are professional athletes that compete. But just, you know, for national pride, they compete in the Olympics, and the monetary rewards come later with endorsements, Wheaties boxes, etc. So I didn't think, you know, that they were doing it completely for free with all the chances to make money later.
Right.
But I'm a little, that is surprising to find out. So are they getting paid with, here in America, for example, the gold medal winner that gets $37,500, is that from our tax money, or what fund is paying that?
It is from a committee called the United States Olympic Committee.
Okay.
You and I know, I mean, when you think committee, I always think homeowners association.
Yeah, that I
that was intended to make you laugh. Well, but
I'm switching neighborhoods, so it's not funny.
it's not funny at all. No, but there's a committee. I always laugh about committee because I always think that is such a lofty word that it's really tough to pin down exactly what the entity might be, who is responsible. It's a little bit like saying they control the weather.
Oh yeah, it's they.
They.
Who pays for the gold medal? They pay for the gold medal. Where are they getting the money? They probably have membership fees, and I mean, even if you know, who knows how much of Flavor Flav's money is going into that? I don't know where they're getting their money, but it doesn't bother me. I would expect if I risked my entire life to attempt to win a gold medal. It doesn't offend me at all to find out that they are paying them $37,500.
Doesn't the check for winning a gold medal actually say in the memo line from the Illuminati?
It might.
It just says that, and you get to deal with it later.
You know, a bronze for $15,000, that's pretty good, too. I don't even know
if it's not bad cake.
It's not worth me, you know, cutting calories and putting in an extra 2 hours of practice a day to try to hit the 37.5. I'll just take the 15.
You're Adam Ritz, and you go, look, I could run this race flat out, but I might get injured. But if I put in a halfway decent effort, maybe I get bronze.
Yeah.
15 grand, baby.
I'm only 15 grand short on my debt. I only need bronze. That's going to affect my training time.
Bronze will be just fine by me. Well, this final story, Adam, it may be reinforcement for what you already know, or you might say, are you kidding me? Most of Gen Z uses TikTok to seek out health advice. A recent poll found that 56% of Gen Z looks on TikTok for wellness, diet, and fitness advice.
That is such a bad idea. I can't even tell you.
Over a third said they use the app as their main form of health advice. Meanwhile, 14% said that they get health advice from friends, from Google, and 11% from qualified doctors or trainers. So think about this. Your first source of health advice is TikTok, and then your second source is friends.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean to cast aspersions, point fingers, but most of my friends don't even know how to open a Band-Aid.
No. And I would say a lot of the people on TikTok do know what they're talking about in the world of health and fitness, but I would say most don't know what they're talking about. Or if they, you know, have advice, it's personal to them. You know,
yes.
they had some diet estrangement or some sort of fitness activity that worked for them, and now they're going to go on TikTok and talk about it. That doesn't mean it's going to work for you. Please consult your physicians. Don't consult Jay Baker on TikTok. All right, Jay, thank you so much for all that you do for what was the best public affairs show, then became the worst public affairs show, and now it's come right back up to the cream of the top to be one of the best public affairs show. It's The Adam Ritz Show.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit adamritzshow.com.